on up, brother. Tom Montgomery goes back with us for many years, and you know, and I just wanted to share a quick testimony of what God's doing in his life, just restoring, rebuilding. And Tom and I met back in the 90s, right? And has served with us and in many different ministries and outreaches and so on. And in just a moment, we're going to take up our missions offering. And then you can pray for the missions offering. And the reason why I chose Tom is because Tom has gone on overseas outreach. Tom has been with the street rallies in New York City and Harlem, Spanish Harlem, Connecticut. In many different ways, we have served together. And, you know, I got to tell you, I am so grateful for every one of you who have served on Family Day. Amen? We just sat back. Let's just thank the Lord. So many of you. And I asked Tom to come, and Tom brought a bunch of fellas with him. He's ministering with these gentlemen at this program, and he invited them to come out. And they were a tremendous help, Tom. And just wanted to share whatever's on your heart and how you enjoyed, you know, supporting missions and reaching out. And didn't they just pray for our missions offering? This is our missions offering.
Praise the Lord, Saint. Give an honor to Pastor First Lady Miss Miriam, Pastor Jimmy, and all of you wonderful saints of God that's building in this new church with us. Miss Diane Lloyd, of course. It's a privilege and an opportunity to stand before you on today and give God praise. Pastor Jimmy has said so many profound things over the years that I've never forgot. And I remember one of them was that I was a Nike. That's a Nike. Said it was an overcomer, a Nike, like the emblem Nike, that we were victorious. What Jesus did in our lives all those years ago when he died for us, we were automatically overcomers and Nikes in the kingdom of God. And so just to build the kingdom and to be a part of it is a privilege. Before I pray, I just want to thank God for the fact that when we came, we were broken. He said that we were broken to serve. Lord knows I've been broken so many times over the 30 years of substance abuse, coming through Teen Challenge, coming to graduate and alumni of that program, so many things, and hiking trips, like he said, the experiences we had, I'll never forget, that transformed my life. It was a turning point in my life when I got saved in 1990 at Teen Challenge. God's mountain, and participated in so many, many trips, and hiking trips. You can't never forget that basketball. We ran. We wasn't this old. We were running and balling. So now we got a little old, so we feel, you know, enjoying the weather, though. But thank God that we're still here in the press. And God is still winning in our lives. But before I pray for the Lord, continue to let your light so shine before men. He said that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Serve. Let your light shine. A blessing on the beach, Jones Beach, and so many things that we can look forward to go out and participate. So, God, we just want to thank you for this offering. We want to thank you for this ministry. We want to thank you for the timing of the ministry, the place you brought us this season at this time, God. Raising up, God, forgetting those things behind. We're pressing toward those things. Say, hey, God, have your way in this offering. Bless the hands that give, God. And you said it would be good measure running over. So men give unto our bosom. So thank God. Bless the offering. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
regards to missions, we have another ministry outreach, and we have worship on the water on Jones Beach Thursday, July 17th. And we want all of you, I shared it with the Spanish service, just to come out, be a part of it. But Dominique will share some exciting things we have happening even this Friday.
This Friday, we have a volunteer rally here at the church. So if you are interested in being a part of Worship on the Water, we're looking for people to help us greet, help us usher. If there's anything that I can share, it's that we have over 1,000 people who have responded and RSVP'd to attend. So this is huge. Usually we get like 300 to 500 at the band shell, but this year 1,000 of God's people are saying we're coming to the beach to worship. So with that, we've had to double our volunteer team. So that's why I asked Pastor Jimmy if we could ask Destiny Church if anyone wants to volunteer. We have a sign-up sheet, I believe. It's in the foyer on the table. And then this Friday at 7 p.m. right here, we're going to have a volunteer rally. What does that look like? That means that you'll get to meet your other team members, you'll grab your volunteer t-shirt, you'll hear about Worship on the Water, and then we'll pray together. So this Friday at 7 p.m. if you'd like to be a part. Thank you.
Let's go right there. Amen. Can we stand and greet about 6 people? But let me just say this with you. In reference to volunteer, that means if you could come out maybe early on Thursday and help us out over there about 4 o'clock or whatever on Thursday, and that's July 17th. But no matter what, come out Friday. We're going to have a praise and prayer time here. It's going to be a celebration rally. Many of people are going to come out. Amen. Hey, stand up and greet about 7 people. Tell them you love them in the Lord. Amen. God bless. And we get dismissed for Children's Church. Friday, 7 o'clock Friday. 7 o'clock Friday. 7 p.m. Amen. Let's get into the Word this morning. Come on, give Jesus a big shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Great stuff. So I want to share a continued word on what I have been sharing on last Sunday. And if you have your Bible, I want you to open up with chapter 5. In Matthew, somehow, if you have an iPad or whatever you're using, chapter 5, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Just stand me real quickly. I want to read this portion of Scripture, and I want to just ask God to just fill us and give us some insight and you really bless us. Now, listen, I'm going to read real quickly on verse 14. And go down to 16, because I think we have 16 that's going to probably pop up there. But here's in Matthew's gospel, and very interesting, I'm going to share a few things. But Jesus said this, "You are the light of the world." And listen, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house." Verse 16 is, of course, the thrust of our message and really the thrust of Jesus' message. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word. I pray that you would continue to fill us with your glory and fill us with your love. And fill us with your light. And fill us with your life. I pray touch us this morning with this beautiful word that we might shine in this dark world, that we might shine amongst our family, we might shine amongst our neighbors, we might shine amongst our business people, in the marketplace, God, we might shine, Lord. And I pray a touch on our bodies, mind, and soul this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, tell your neighbor, keep shining. Go ahead, say, keep shining. Amen. You may be seated. What a beautiful, listen, what a beautiful church. I look around and see all you beautiful faces and so on. Lisette, do we have t-shirts? Did we find the t-shirts, Lisette? So we have, listen, we have our Family Day t-shirts out there for sale as well. And so you might want to grab that and so on. But so, and listen, think about what's happening. Listen, I looked on the Family Day, Pastor. Wasn't it beautiful? You see, every one of us were shining. Come on, amen? Some of us were sweating. Some of us were eating the corn on the cob and the watermelon and hot dogs and hamburgers. But I tell you, the community saw us shining, amen? And let's just give the Lord and give our beautiful church a good clap offering. All of you. I want to share just a few things about, you know, about this portion of Scripture that touched me even as recently as this morning. I shared this message last Sunday. I shared it this morning at the Spanish service, and it's Pastor Lennon's birthday. So if you see him, I'm not sure if they're still downstairs. And I won't tell how old he is. He's just a couple of years older than 50. He's not 60. I told everybody in the church, I said, Pastor Lennon, you're older than me, and I just, you look so great. I was kidding with him. But they're having a wonderful little celebration downstairs. I tell you, Pastor Lennon and Pastor Damaris, what precious, precious, precious people. He'll be preaching here soon, and as you know, next Sunday we have a combined service. Amen. Invite people out. There's an installation service for Miriam and I. And it's going to be a special service, a guest speaker. The Spanish church will be here together. It's going to be a great time. We'll have some fellowship downstairs and some good stuff. Amen? So I was thinking about this portion of Scripture. And I'll get into it in just a little more. But I want to just kind of, just extrapolate or just really talk about the chapter 5 and what Jesus was speaking on. Because, Pastor, you probably remember, or Diane, maybe some of you, anybody remember Bob Mumford? Bob Mumford was an incredible teacher, radio teacher. And I used to listen to him all the time, even in Bible school. So we're going back. But even when I came back, I forget when he passed away. I think it was the 90s or whatever. I'm not sure. Powerful gospel and powerful preacher of the word. And I remember him saying in one of his teachings that really one of the most powerful scriptures in the New Testament that Jesus shared, besides I share Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, your neighbors, yourself. He said Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 is one of the most powerful, powerful, powerful messages that Jesus shared with us as Christians, where he said, let your light so shine before men that your good works will glorify your Father in heaven. And I know that because it's so important, because people are compelled by the Jesus they see in you. Amen? You know, it's funny, Pastor, I shared the other, we shared a message, and we talked about sometimes you got to tell your face it got saved. So the joy, but I began to think about it. We need to not only that, remind our hands they got saved. Remind our eyes they got saved. Remind our feet they got saved. Amen? Remind our hair. Some of you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror. We definitely got to tell our hair, our eyes, it got saved. Amen? Because, listen, Jesus, we just got to let Jesus shine all out of us. That was so cool about Matthew chapter 5, is that Jesus kicks off right out of the gate in Matthew chapter 5, is the blessed attitudes. And so you think about this, in the center of this teaching is really, let your light so shine before men that your good works will glorify your Father in heaven. But he starts out with a bookend, which is incredible, about the blessed attitudes. Because what is supposed to shine out of us? Really, the blessed attitudes and the fruit of the Spirit. And that's really what should shine out of us. And you know, Jesus said, blessed are the poor. You know, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers, and so on. So Jesus starts out with the blessed attitudes, then goes right into that with the salt of the earth. Now, how many here love salt on their food? I love salt. I'm a salt. My father never liked salt. Miriam really doesn't like salt. She hates it. I like salt. And salt, I remember when Miriam and I, we were in Teen Challenge together, and we lived in a family ministry with other married couples. And there's times when we had this incredible program. Now, the program is interesting because, the message here is let your light so shine. Amen? Someone say light. And I used the acronyms, you remember, and I'll go over them again. You know, the acronym L, which is love never fails. Amen. I, inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. L-I-G, the goodness of God gratifies everything. And H, I forget what I said for H, but we'll get there. Hope, the hope that doesn't fail. And T, the transformation. But anyway, we had a ministry called the Light Program. And that was one of the greatest, and Bobby Lloyd was in the men's program as well. So I was in the men's program with Bobby first. Then I joined the ministry, Miriam. And the Light Program was this, and it's really about discipleship. Because, you know, what is the church for, truthfully? What are we doing here? We pray, we seek God, we lay our burdens down. Very important to get people saved. You know, very important dynamic of the church is to train and teach and disciple and speak the word and challenge and inspire all of you. That's our job. Not just me, but one another. Now, the program, the Light Program, was this: living in group harmony through truth. That's the Light concept. One of the greatest discipleships that we could ever know: living in group harmony through truth. And we have scriptures all to back that. How to correct, how to receive correction, how to bear one another's burdens, and so forth. And we had a light session. Now, you might not know what lights. Anybody know what a light session is? You know, right, Tom? You've been to many light sessions. Me too. Now, that's when the light is shine on you because you were a bad boy. Come on, somebody. You've had many of them, Pastor Pag, over the years. You and Diane had to sit with some. Anyway, so what happens is if you messed up, you know, as a student in the program, you know, what we would do, we would have the whole council. All the students were together. And we would focus on Galatians 6, 1 and 2, where it says, if you see a brother going astray, you are spiritual, restore such a brother in the spirit of gentleness, lest you be tempted as well. Bear your brother's burdens, thus fulfill the law of Christ. And then we would follow the scriptures that say, if somebody has sinned against you, or go to them one-on-one, and then if not, bring another brother, and if not, bring the council. So those are the scriptures we would work. And truthfully, the church still works in that operation, in that ministry. That's biblical teaching when there's correction. And so we would have guys, you know, all our guys together. And so what the leaders would do is they would not really initiate it. They would allow us students to initiate if there was an issue in the house. Sometimes we'd sit there for hours until someone would come up. So after sitting for about an hour, and these are some ex-drug addicts that are crazy, some stuff starts manifesting. We got to get out of here. All right, let's deal them. Jimmy, you did this. You did. But then we calm everybody down. And we would instruct and love one another. And what we would do is in part, living in group harmony through truth, we would impart these beautiful, blessed attitudes and the fruits of the Spirit. And so when you go through this incredible ministry, and then you have the attitudes class where how do you receive correction, how do you present correction, and all that good stuff, you become a special forces for the kingdom of God. Amen? We'd raise up some mighty women and God and send them out in the world. Come on, somebody. Amen? God is good. So what's so awesome about this incredible portion of Scripture of chapter 5, it says in here the blessed attitudes. Then we go into the light, right? And then it goes, then Jesus begins to deal with, in verses 23, 27, he deals with adultery and really the attitude of the heart. Beware of sin. Deal with sin. Beware of your thought life. Then Jesus, in chapter 5, check this out, then he focuses on the marriage. Is that awesome? You know, he covers so much in chapter 5. And then what's incredible, he talks about the doctrine, fulfillment of the law. But then he says this. I love this scripture. Listen, in verse 30, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other. Remember that? If anybody wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever, watch this, compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Then Jesus teaches to go the extra mile. Now that's being a light in this dark world, amen? Then Jesus is so awesome because then he concludes, which is a divine, love your enemies. Amen? And so we talk about how do you be a light in the world? Love your enemies. Just yesterday, was it yesterday? The day before yesterday, I was driving on Deer Park Avenue and it was crowded. And I was crowded in this lane, and I had a maneuver to just slide over real quick into this lane to kind of, but I accidentally got in front of this guy, and he beeped the horn at me, and I was like, oh shoot, I'm sorry. And then he must have thought I was deaf or so, because he started giving me these crazy sign languages. Two hands! I don't know how he was driving. He's like driving with elbows. I said, oh gosh, I'm sorry. I started laughing because I said, oh my gosh, road rage. This guy's flipping out. So then he pulls up in front of me and tries to cut me off, and I just wheeled out. And so he's up, he's pulling up, and I rolled my window down, and he rolls his, and he's cursing me out, and I'm thinking, love your enemies. So I know how to disarm these guys. You know how? I'm so sorry. And he still, but the curses are slow. I'm sorry, you're right. And they slow up. Amen? Come on, somebody. I had a love up on my enemy. He hated me, wanted to kill me. So how many here have a hard time with your boys? Just love up on them. How many here have a hard time with us pastors? Just love up on us. Amen. So my point is, it's that it's so incredible because how Jesus puts this all together in one package, you know, and the thrust of it, the center of it, as Bob Mumford, you know, if you don't know Bob Mumford, but trust me, one of the most important is let your light so shine before men that your good works will glorify your Father in heaven. Come on, somebody say, keep shining. Because that's our message. Keep shining. And that's that. And listen, even in the bad times, amen, even in the rough times, and so on, I have to admit for a second, when he's trying to cut me off, I kind of wanted to, I got angry too for a second. I wanted to cut him off for a second, too. But then thank God that I'm saved. Amen? Come on. Amen? Hallelujah. How many here got the problem with road rage? We'll pray for you in just a little while. Laugh at him and love him up. So, you know, so the message that I shared, you know, last Sunday, and I want to just expound on it just a little more. If you remember, I used the acronyms, you know, of light. Not that I'm going to go through them. I feel I just want to focus probably on just one more, just one this morning, the one main one. There's Pastor Lennon. Come on, happy birthday to Pastor Lennon. Amen. I was bragging about you, brother. So number one, I'll share this with you, and then we're just going to focus on one and what I want to pray for us. Love never fails. Can you say that with me? I don't know if you have it up there. Love never fails. Let's go to the second one if you can. I is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I used G, the goodness of God that gratifies everything. We focused on H, hope is in the hope in the divine is the divine anchor of expectation. And T, the transform sinners into a saint for T. But I want to focus on the attribute of love. Love never fails, because it's the greatest gift of evangelism that you can ever have. I shared about Ramon, you know, last Sunday, how this guy just started cursing us out and just, you know, gets so angry at us. And I just didn't know what to say except I love you, Ramon. And then later on, he gets saved and born again. Amen? You know, because love breaks every wall down. Hallelujah. I shared with you a while ago when I was in India. And I was preaching at that crusade. Remember, I shared about my mother was on her deathbed. And as I was in that crusade, and I told you about Andy Morgan, who was a missionary there for 25 years. And it was very stoic. And that night when I just prayed, I didn't know what to preach on. But all I preached on, which I say all, was probably one of the most powerful messages or scenes of Jesus' story. I preached, if you remember, about the prodigal son and the loving father waiting for his son to get home. And I preached the message, somebody cares for you. And I remember, and there's been many, many times when I felt that anointing, where you could cut it with a knife and it just broke every wall down. Hindus, Muslims, very few Christians were in the crusade. And I remember when I began to preach about that, all that was coming out of me and I focused on was not necessarily the lost son, but the compassionate father who loves you, who cares for you, who will do anything for you, who wants you to come home. Come on, somebody. That's the love of God. And so when we begin to think about the love never fails, I share this with all of us because, you know, as we're growing in God, you're going to encounter certain people. And it's so good to be able to share Scripture. It's so wonderful, and because the Word of God cuts. It's so wonderful if you ever get a chance. I don't know, but, you know, sometimes people may be interested in the doctrine of soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of eschatology. I'm not sure. I just know this, that one of the greatest doctrines is the doctrine of love. Amen? You know why? The Bible says what? Love covers a, help me, multitude of sin. Tell your neighbor God loves you. Now tell him, so do I. Amen. Began to share about the love of Jesus. So I began to think about love never fails. Love never fails. Bears all things, endures all things. Love never fails. It's one of the greatest tools that we could ever have in our life, in our assortment, in our, if you want to call it, our ammunition to really preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because no matter what, love breaks through. Love breaks through. The love of God. I remember there were so many different times that we, you know, we saw this powerful, powerful scripture of love penetrate a heart. Love never fails. Love, I'm here. You know why I'm here? Because I experience God's love. Amen? You know why I'm here? Because Jesus loves me. Amen? You know why I'm here? Because God loves you, God loves me, and we're here. And guess what I said before? We're all in here. I'm type of a coach. You're players. This is a scrimmage. And we're here to share, impact, fire you out so you can go into the marketplace and shine, baby, shine. Come on, somebody, keep shining. You know, love is just so powerful. I remember we were at Bryant Park. And as we were at Bryant Park, it was so awesome. We used to have, when we did the David Wilkerson Crusades, we had people from all over the country come for 2 weeks, and they would be a part of our David Wilkerson Crusades. And for 10 straight days, on up, we would set up rallies. We'd have these street rallies in the hardcore places in the Bronx, in Brooklyn. Lower East Side of Manhattan, set up the stages. At that time, I was always a part of setting up the stage. I was even the sound man at times. But when I set everything up, I was just focusing on trying to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen? And so I remember this about being a light. It doesn't matter where you are or what part of you on any event, whether worship or the water. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you're at the mall. God still wants to use you if you want to be used. Amen? And so I love what Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God. It's salvation to those who believe. Amen? And so I remember one of my first jobs before I was the sound guy. This is when I was a student for about 4 or 5 months, because I came in November. So December, January, February, March, April, May, June. June was our first rallies with Dave Wilson. So I'm 6 months of the program, Miriam and I. And so I was so pumped up, man, to go out in the streets of New York, where I used to hang out and tell people about Jesus. And I was so excited to be a part of the David Wilkerson Crusades. Bobby was with us. It was Miriam and Diane. You'd be there. We'd be setting it up. And so they were giving out job responsibilities, just like we have over at the outreach. I mean, our family day, everybody had job responsibilities. I brought up Tom. Tom was awesome. He was just emptying garbage after garbage after garbage can, getting ice. He didn't care. He was so blessed. Guess what? Tom, you were shining. And all of you were shining. Amen? You guys are making butter popcorn. You were making, butter corn, popcorn, cotton candy, hot dogs, hamburgers. Come on, somebody. Somebody was shining out there. So they were administrating job responsibilities. So I happened to share and brag about my gifting. And what do you gift as? I'm pretty mechanically tuned. I know how to fix things and all that stuff. They said, good, Jimmy. This is Yolanda Planis. Now, Yolanda Planis, on fire. She was one of the directors. She says, good, Jimmy, guess what? You're going to be in charge of the generator. And my mind goes nuts, because I see things. And I said to myself, that's not good. Because you want to know why? This generator was a generator that had wheels on it, and you had to tow it in. So the generator had to be about, like, you know, a half a football field away from all the action. You get it? And then, so I said, okay, let me set it up, and I'll just come over, because I want to be in the action. I want to go where David Wilkerson is, and the sinners are, and all the action. And so I snuck over, and Yolanda rebuked me, and I already took my attitudes class, and I immediately applied it. How can I receive correction? And so I received it. He said, what are you doing over here? I said, everything's cool. I said, no, you get over there, Jimmy, and you got to watch that generator so it doesn't run out of gas. I said, it's got a full tank. Doesn't matter. Somebody can steal it. You need to go over there. My mind goes, steal it? How the heck is someone going to steal it? You got to shut the whole crusade down, back up a truck, and excuse me, we're stealing. Can I borrow the microphone, David Wilkerson? We're going to steal that generator. But I was obedient. Amen? So I went over there with my tear and so forth, but then I shook it off, and I stood there, and I was behind the generator, and David Wilkerson was preaching, and I shook off my attitude. I got back into my obedience demand class and said, God, give me the joy. I got to shine. And as David Wilkerson was preaching, Jimmy Jack was behind the generator. I had my little Bible, my track, and guess what? People would come up and go, what's going on over there? I'd say, you want to know what's going on over there? And I'd give him the road plan of salvation. God, lead him to Jesus. Come on, you got to spread it. No matter where you are, no matter what you do it unto the Lord, not unto man. Come on, amen. And then as God's faithful, you begin to move up and you set up the stage. And then, hallelujah, one day I got to preach that beautiful gospel. Come on, somebody. You know, I want to share this with you. about this portion of Scripture. Let it shine. Love never fails. Love never fails. And how do you encapsulate that? How did I get adjusted back to my attitude after I got yelled at? I'm 26 years old. I feel like I'm a kindergarten kid and you're rebuking me. Shake it off and let the love of God do His thing. Amen? Amen. I share this with you, and this is about you really love God, then you live a crucified life. Amen? Because Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. What did he say before that? I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And what does that mean? And the life that I once lived in the flesh, I now live in faith and stuff. The love of Jesus Christ has to dominate and take over my mind. And when God is able to do that, you don't get offended. You know, let me just give you a quick good truth that I learned from a great man of God. We were talking about offense. Guess what? How many of you, don't raise your hand, get offended sometimes. Don't raise your hand. Well, here's what this teacher told me, prophetic, profound teacher. He said, Jimmy, the percentage of you that gets offended is the percentage of you that has not been crucified. Somebody say ouch! God's good. I want to just end in prayer in just a moment. But I'm thinking of this incredible scene about the doctrine of love. And Greg, you come up, just come on up and worship you and get ready, because I just want to pray. This morning, I just want to pray God saturate us in His love, that we will be that light in the world, you know, and that love would pour out of us and take dominant in our life, take dominant in our talking, take dominant in our thinking, take dominant in our relationships, because love never fails. Love never fails. You know, Peter had a hard time in his walk with God. Would you guys agree? He really did. He fell a lot. Failed. Remember? Remember how he denied Christ? He really did. Such teachings about that. I don't, you know, I can understand Peter more now. And understand that feeling of really failing Jesus. So you remember when Jesus, Peter failed Jesus many times. So he was a front slider, but I got to tell you something. I'd rather have a front slider than a back slider. Amen, Pastor? They'd drag him up. But I don't mind pulling him back. But he was a front slider. There was so much teaching. But Peter failed Jesus, and a lot of us do. And I go to this place next that I did this morning about love never fails. Brokenness. Say brokenness. When you're broken, there is an oil, if you get it right. Broken, not in bitterness, but broken in blessedness. There's a difference. Some people stay broken in bitterness and never receive revelation of God's love and focus too much on their wound and how they're wounded. But when you're broken in blessedness, there's something that just so happens and so beautiful. And you remember the woman who came into the Pharisee's house. Remember that? And she wept on Jesus' feet. Her tears. As you remember, I shared on this and shared again. Traditionally, women, literally, the Jewish women took literally Psalms 56, which says, I remember your wanderings and I put your tears in my body. And when this woman, tradition tells us, when she cleaned Jesus' feet with a tear, she didn't weep on it, although she might have been weeping. She poured her tears that she wept in that tear bottle on his feet. Broken. And remember, she was labeled through that scene, that scripture, I think it's in Luke, 4 or 5 times the author made sure, Jesus even, she was a sinner. She was a sinner. She was a sinner. She was, why is she in this house? She's a sinner. Why is this sinner touch this woman? Sinner. So we don't, it doesn't define her sin, but we knew there was something, some deep stuff she's going through. But she came in there and fell at the feet of Jesus. Poured it. She was broken. And here's Jesus at the teaching, the thing, the takeaways. Jesus said this, for much is forgiven, for much love. For much is forgiven. You say that you don't understand what she's going through. She's broken. And what she's pouring, that alabaster, that tears, those are ministry of love. So Peter, I end with this. You can stand with me. We're going to pray. Just a minute. Don't miss this. So Peter is broken. And he's on the boat, and Jesus is resurrected, and he's having breakfast. He's cooking fish, and they jump in, but Peter didn't jump in first. Read the story, and then Jesus finally gets with Jesus, but Peter is guilt, double guilt still. Denied Christ. Remember, cursed. And he's full of guilt and stuff, and he's coming over to this scene. And he's coming over, and he doesn't know what to expect. And as he sits, he looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at Peter. And what does he say? What teaching does he give? Peter is going to be the spokesperson, the initial person, later along with Apostle Paul, to establish the kingdom of God, this failure, this messed up person. So what does Jesus teach him? Well, you would think he would teach him, like I said, you know, the 4 spiritual laws of the kingdom. Don't forget. Or teach the doctrine of soteriology, doctrine of eschatology, the 16 fundamental truths of the assemblies of God. You would think, you need this to establish my church. He looked at Peter and he said this, Peter, do you love me? Come on, somebody. Let's stand and pray. Let's pray. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Again, Peter, do you love me? 3 times. Isn't Jesus so awesome? Peter denied him 3 times, and Jesus covers it. Covers it. Covers it. Covers it. Here's what's so awesome about this love and what it does. Don't miss this. Do you remember where Peter denied Christ? There was a coal of fire. Are you hearing me? Right? And Jesus said something that after the rooster crows, right? You denied me 3 times, right? This is the break of the morning. Peter's on the boat. What is he smelling? He's smelling coals of fire. Reminding him of his sin. He's hearing the rooster's crow. Can you imagine this? And he's over there, and the sin is pounding his stuff. You know, because we need to take our sin seriously and not just wave it off. You gotta deal with it. And it is like amplifying his mind. So he comes over, rooster's crowing, smells it, remembers that, all his senses. And then Jesus, you know what he does? He wipes it away. He wipes it away. Check it out. He wipes it away. He wipes the smell away. He wipes the roosters away. He covers it with, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Check this out. So every time Peter hears a rooster crow, he doesn't remember his failure. He remembers the love of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Every time he smells coals, he remembers the love of Jesus. He doesn't remember his sin, because love covers a multitude of sin. And that's what we have. And that's our heart. And that's our message. That's our mission, to share the love of Jesus, because love never fails. Oh, somebody, you got to keep shining. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Hallelujah. How many here need a dose of God's love? Maybe there's some things you got to release. Come on up. Let's just pray as worship teams just minister softly. Any prayer needs you have in your heart, your mind, your soul, your destiny. We want to pray for the love of God to baptize you. Come quickly. Come on up. We want to pray. Hallelujah. Just worship just for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Just release. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Lord, we praise you. We worship you. Hallelujah.
If anyone wants to see you take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Second mile mentality. And then, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. So let's put our hands in our hearts, folks. Father God, we thank you for this moment of time. And we pray together as a family. Fill us with your love. Oh God, break strongholds down. Anything that hinders us from shining. I pray a Holy Ghost anointing upon us. Minister, Father, to our lives. Oh, fill us, God. Fill us with overflowing your loving anointing. Lord, I pray for all of us here. We have a message to share with the world. We have a message to share with our community. We have a message to share with our family, the message of love, the love of Jesus that never fails. And I pray, God, for that power of your grace flow in us and the expressions of your love from the fruits of the Spirit to the blessed attitudes would fill us and flow through us and change lives. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank Him together. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you glory.